Bibles open, but before you do that, put your phones on silent, if you would. And I'm not going to preach that long tonight, so it's 7 o'clock right on the head right now. Get your Bibles open. Proverbs 3, and actually go to Romans 8 first, Romans chapter 8. And started a series back a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the offices of the Holy Spirit and how He ministers to us. And then last week, we started in on being led of the Holy Spirit. Being led of the Holy Spirit is something that a lot of Christians will talk about, will swear to even, but when push comes to shove, they're really not allowing the Lord to lead them. And they end up leaning on their own understanding a whole lot of the time. Now, I've seen people in this church do it. I know I've done it myself in times past. I vow I will not, again, lean on my own understanding. I've seen people make decisions that ended up not being good decisions when they leaned on their own understanding. The Bible warns us about that, doesn't it? It tells us not to lean on our own understanding. And as long as we disobey that command and try to figure everything out like we are so kind of partial to doing, it's going to cause us trouble. And then, you know, you always have that element in the body of Christ that thinks they can figure it out. Well, I've got news for you. You can't. Isn't that wonderful revelation tonight? Man, I'm trying my best to figure everything. Well, you're not going to, and I'm going to give you some proof of that in just a little bit. We'll talk about it some, but there's one who does know the beginning from the end, and He knows everything, and He knows how to talk to you about the things you have need of. Absolutely. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what it's saying to me is that sons of God, and again, there's no sex indicated there. It's not talking about just males, but the children of God should be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? There are a lot of things that are trying to pull you away from being led of the Holy Spirit, and that's not good. We know how the devil tries to get in and mess us up and get us off the track of what we're called to do and how we're supposed to be going about it. Look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the fear is something you and I need to stay on top of. Fear, if you let fear lead you, and fear will try to lead you, just mark it down, it's the truth. Fear will try to lead you. If you're being led by fear in any degree, you're not being led of the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, that, you know, fear, what is fear? Well, let me say this. There are different levels of fear, just like there are different levels of faith. You know, we've seen people that are, when you first get born again, you're very young in faith. And then you kind of go through the teenage years of faith, kind of similar and parallel to your years as you grew up. You went from a child to a teenager to an adult. One of the things that kind of marks teenage faith is a know-it-all attitude. You know what I'm saying about teenagers? And how many of y'all remember when you were a teenager? For some, it's longer ago, but I remember as a teenager thinking, I've got this thing figured out. And then you come upon something that you never encountered before. And suddenly, Dad seemed a whole lot smarter than he was the moment before. And Mom seemed to have some understanding of things that I didn't necessarily want to admit I didn't, but I knew absolutely I did not. So it would pay to stay out of that level of faith, amen? Teenage year, we don't want to be teenagers. You want to grow past that, amen? And that's not to say that every teenager takes that attitude, but that seems to be something that as teenagers find their way into adulthood, they have to come to grips with the fact that they don't know everything. Then you reach the level of adulthood, and you have to come to grips with the fact that you don't know everything. I think back to when I was 35 when I thought, yeah, I'm an old man. No, yeah. That was 25 years ago. And I think, boy, was I wet behind the ears. Right? Man, it just happens that way. Praise God. So levels of fear, though, get this. When we think of fear and we think, well, I'm not going to be led by fear, the first thing you'll think of is like panic or utter fright, fearfulness. What about slight dread? Just a little bit of dread you're feeling. What about that? Slight dread. Yeah. Stop and think about it for a minute. It's still fear, is it not? Slight dread. I just have a little bit of dread of what? Having to go to work tomorrow. Or having to deal with this situation. Just a little bit of dread. I'm telling you something right now. That's being led by fear. Sure it is. It's a level of fear. And if you're not careful, it will progress from slight dread to a little bit more dread to a whole lot more dread and eventually roll over into the area of panic and downright fright. And now you're being led by that full-blown fear that has been allowed to develop in you. And now look what it's doing. So be aware that even something as innocent as embarrassment is kin to fear. Why? If you're embarrassed about something that you did, you have the thought, and every one of us have done it. I'm not saying I haven't. Don't ever think that when I'm preaching stuff that I automatically want you to realize I'm immune to everything I've ever told you. No, that's why I try to bring in real life situations and stories of my own life, because I've been afraid before. I've given in to embarrassment just like you have. You ever feel that flush come over you when you do something stupid? And what's the big deal about it anyway? You think people are going to look down on you and laugh at you and criticize you and condemn you, and you're like, oh, I just want to shrink. Why? You afraid somebody's not going to love you? Here's the revelation that you can get from that you don't have to give in to fear. Your Father loves you regardless of what you have done. As foolish as it may look, everybody's done it. Like the time I ran out of Wyatt's. Y'all remember that story? Oh, gee, I'm going to have to tell you. Now I got to tell the whole internet, too. We were at Wyatt's, my mom, my dad, Pastor John, and myself. Neither one of us were married yet. We had been there, I don't know. It started pouring rain out. I had some shoes that were kind of slippery on. And the whole lobby there were a bunch of girls there. And, of course, I wanted to impress the girls. Oh, boy, I made an impression all right. My dad pulled the car up. And it's like, okay, my mom ran out, got in. I don't know if I went before John. I think I did. I ran out, yeah, because he saw me and he was laughing. It was not funny. But they had a little ramp there, and I hit that ramp, and I slid, and I went underneath the car. I caught myself. Praise God, I didn't hit my teeth on the rocker panel of the car. That would have been a bad deal. But it happened so fast. The next thing I know, I'm looking at the bottom of the car. I'm like, oh, my. And it's pouring rain. I'm like, I got to get out. I wanted to crawl out under the other side. But I thought the quickest way is just to pull myself and get in, and so I got in, and I was hearing some of it in the car, but I felt embarrassed. Would you? But here was the good part of that. It was raining so hard, it was coming down in buckets, you know, one of those toad stranglers. I don't know if they even really saw me. It was coming down so hard. I was like, hey, I think that guy just went under that car, you know. I mean, if the place, y'all remember when Wyatt's was here? That place was packed a lot of the time. Well, it was one of those days. It was packed. I waited to do my thing, you know. Anyway. So the devil is always going to try to use fear in whatever degree that he can to pull you away from the path of faith that you are walking in the Lord. Remember, that pathway of faith is a very narrow path. The path of life, the path that leads to life, is a narrow path. Scripture says, few there be that find it. Why? Because people most of the time give in to the things around them and get distracted and end up turning away from it or letting fear push them off the path. Okay? So we are supposed to be spirit-led, not fear-led, not dread-led, right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And again, fear will lead you if you let it. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now look at verse 16. The Spirit itself or himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, he bears witness with your spirit. Remember, that is spirit to spirit. The Spirit of God to your spirit. He bears witness with your spirit. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, let me say this. If a person lived in you, I know kind of, you got to stretch your imagination here for a second. I'm not saying people live in you, okay? But if a person lived within inside you and they had a thought, wouldn't you hear it? Think, come on, go with me here. Think about it for a second. If somebody was actually living inside you, which, by the way, somebody is, you should be able to hear their thoughts. Well, the Holy Spirit lives in us. See, when it talks about bearing witness with our spirit, you see that there? In verse 16, the Spirit himself or itself bears witness with our spirit. That bearing witness with your spirit is spirit to spirit, and it comes about in a knowing. You know when the Holy Spirit is telling you something. He doesn't even have to speak. Isn't that interesting? It says he bears witness. It doesn't say that he speaks at that moment. Now, he will speak in the still small voice at times, sure. But there are other times when he's just bearing witness and he has a thought and you know it. Have you ever had a thought that you know was a thought from God? Yeah, because it goes crosswise with everything that you would think. Reach out and pray for that person. Be kind to that individual. Didn't you just hear what they called me? I'll be doggone if I'm going to do it. Wait a minute. And you know on the inside that you should do that. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. And you will hear his thought. Now, I'll tell you something. You can hear the thoughts of God. And people that don't understand this and don't have a spiritual maturity to grab it will go, what is he talking about? Hearing the thoughts of God. Hey, does he live in you by his spirit or doesn't he? If he does, then you ought to be able to pick up on his thoughts. The way that we kind of put that at times, we feel a conviction if we go a direction that we know is displeasing to him. What do you feel? You feel a check in your spirit. We call it that. What's the Holy Spirit saying? Have you ever just looked at your child when they were getting ready to do something? Now, you guys with Lakin, if you haven't done it yet, it will happen, okay? You know, she's getting ready to, and this, I know kids will do this, they get ready to go into something they shouldn't go and turn around and look to see if anybody's looking, and you're standing there watching them. You know you shouldn't go in that cabinet. You've been told. Reminds me of my niece, who's now a RN up in Indiana. And I remember when her mom said, you are not to use the word darn. She heard somebody say darn. And she was saying darn. And Kate told her, you know, we don't say darn. So don't say it. You know. And she's this little girl. You know, like I say, she's married now and all that and in her 30s someplace. And Kate said, She said, now I want you to think about what I just told you. And she, you know, and anyway, she goes out and then she peeks in and she's got this Ernie and Bert doll. These little Ernie and Bert, you know, what are they? The Sesame Street stuff. She looks at that, and I've told you this before, but she looks at Ernie. Ernie say darn. Bert say darn. Darn. And Kay's outside the door hearing this, and she's trying not to laugh, but in essence, I mean, it's cute, but it was the flesh of that little child trying to rebel against mom, you know. So I hope if you're watching, Lauren, you better not be using that word, you know. I think it's neat, though, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us and bring illumination to our thoughts. When he brings a thought to you, it will illuminate your mind. See, if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, we need to learn that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and we need to be so in touch with him that we can sense when he's not pleased about something. We can sense when he's not in favor of something, right? Now, your brain is not your mind. Remember that. Your brain is not your mind. The brain is the physical organ that your mind functions through, right? So whenever, if your brain suddenly, you lost your brain, but you do lose your brains, your mind, you're so open-minded, your brains have fallen out, that kind of thing. But if your brain was suddenly removed, you'd still be able to think. You just couldn't express it. The brain is the physical organ that the mind functions through. So whenever you leave this earth and go on to be with Jesus, you're still going to have your mind. Your brain will be here, but your mind will still be with you and go with you. Amen? The Holy Spirit, you see, will speak into our lives, and we realize these things with our mind. Now, it starts in your spirit, man, but you do pick up on it in your thoughts. And so with the Holy Spirit bearing witness to you, you just need to learn to tune in to pick up on his heart. Being led of the Spirit is nothing more than, it's not that hard to do. It's just that people are so much of the time running to the symptom and trying to figure out how they're going to deal with this in prayer, Well, now, wait a minute. Why do we let the symptom drive the prayer? Why do we try to decipher in our thoughts how we are to pray? That's why some people have told me before, I don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues because I have the scriptures. I can pray the scriptures. And my reply to that is always, yes, you can always pray the word, but what word do you pray? And what if you don't know how to pray as you ought? What does the scripture say? The Holy Spirit will make intercession through us, right? With groanings that cannot be uttered. Romans 8, and that's actually verse 26 of this chapter 8 of Romans. But whenever you and I go on to be with the Lord, our mind is going to go with us. Amen. And I will say this, that the devil has no say-so over when we're going to go to be with the Lord. Some people have the idea, well, when your number's up, your number's up. And that's wrong. Do you hear me? That is unscriptural. Paul didn't say, my number's up. Paul said, I'm caught in a strait between two. I have a desire to depart, but to be here is more beneficial for you. So he had a choice to make. He chose to stay for a little while, did he not? Come on, he did. That's in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 through 24. All I can say to you is Paul had a choice. The Holy Spirit didn't correct him in his thinking that he was in a strait betwixt two. The Holy Spirit could have come right in there and said, no, Paul, when your number's up and you're leaving. Like some Christians believe, well, I guess his number's up. No. No, that's not the way it is. Now, we don't want to leave early, do we? And we should not allow the enemy to dictate to us how it is we're going to leave. So what do we have to do? We have to be those good soldiers in the army of the Lord, keep the armor on, be an overcomer, stay in the armor, fight the good fight, endure hardness as a good soldier, all those things, because we have authority over the devil. And that rat's under our feet, amen? Hey, that's the truth. So run your race, finish your course. So one day you can say, I have done that, and now I'm ready to go. I mean, I think about, as I was writing that, I was thinking about Tom. You know, he ran a race, lived a long life, and praise God. Thank you, Lord. But the enemy doesn't play fair, does he? Hey, I don't like it when people leave early. I hate that. I feel my dad left early. He was only 7 years older than I am right now when he passed away. I have no intention of leaving this earth at 67 years of age. There's no way. There's no way. I've got too much to do. You have too much to do. Amen. See, Paul knew that he had a destiny. You remember back in the book of Acts, that shipwreck that was going to happen, and Paul gets alone with God, and the Spirit of God speaks to him. Paul knows in his heart that he's supposed to go before Caesar, right? Come on. And here this shipwreck is happening. I mean, the waves are beating, and I mean, the soldiers are scared. They're thinking, we got to kill these prisoners, because if they escape, we're going to be killed over it. And Paul comes up there and says, hey, you know, nobody's going to be harmed. They had already started throwing stuff overboard. No one's going to be harmed. Not a single life will be lost. I mean, he brings that out. Paul knew he had a destiny. Satan was trying, but Paul knew, you're not taking me out. And then they get onto the land, remember, and he reaches to grab some sticks, and what happened? Snake bites him on the arm, and the people, I was reading it, of Melita, they said, you escaped the ocean, but you must be a murderer because now your justice is coming. Words to that effect. And then they watched him, and his arm didn't swell up. And in a little while, they realized, whoa, then they started to think he was a god. Remember that? I mean, these people, they go from one, you're a murderer? No, you're God, you know. I think there's Christians sometimes that think like that God's some kind of killer, then he's the blesser over here, and then he's a killer again over here, and he, you know, misunderstanding, wrong stuff. But anyway, Paul knew that he had a destiny, and he knew that he had to appear before Caesar, and he wasn't about to let the devil take him out. Have you had the devil come at you in your life? I know you have, but sometimes the devil comes along and says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to ruin your life. I'm blah, blah, blah. And the question needs to be that we have to him is, how come you haven't done it up until now? If you could just do it, how come you haven't done it? Amen. Big mouth.
Well, I don't know that I'd talk like that to the devil.
You need to remember you have authority over the devil, and you don't have to be nice to the devil. You have authority over him. So, you know, and this business of when a person does go home early, and that's happened, what happens when a spirit is harassing somebody? And you've seen this in families where that and people talk about it's kind of like a curse on the family, and this one died at this age, and that one, my grandfather ended up with this, and my father, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, and, you know, and the devil's telling you, and yeah, you're next. Well, I'll tell you something about that. Here's how that works. That spirit is harassing that person, and maybe he was able to penetrate that individual's life and take somebody out. What does he do then? He gravitates to the next family member who's still alive, who's the most like that one that he was able to get at, and continues the process with the lie. It happened to him, and look in the mirror. You look just like him. And if it happened to him, guess what? You're next. And you have to resist that. And you won't have to resist that just once. He's an old cuss who's going to keep coming at you. And he's going to tell you, oh, that happened there, and it happened then, and it happened to that relative, and that one. And look at the resemblance between the two of you, and see, it's going to happen to you. And you have to say, no, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm not going to hear that garbage. I won't hear it in the name of Jesus. Shut your mouth. You try to take a stance where you're just like, oh, well, Mr. Devil. And some people don't even think it's the devil. They think it's just their thoughts. You know, it's possible for a thought to not be God that comes at you and not be you, and that it actually is the devil. Well, how come, you know, why am I hearing the devil? Because he's got a big mouth. And you're in this earth that is subject to the curse, but you as a believer are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from the curse. Thank you, Lord. So I don't really care what your dad had. I'm sorry, my dad had. The devil came at me about that. I settled this thing a long time ago. Because as you know, my dad's funeral was the first one I did. He said, you're going to have problems with your prostate. You're going to have problems with this. I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not. Because I am redeemed. Amen. Yeah, but your dad was redeemed. Yeah, that's true. He was. But dad didn't have as much renewal of his mind going on at that point. So I've had time to shore up and push that lie down and just squash it. He doesn't even mess with me about that anymore. It's just like, you know, when a person gets born again and they get delivered out of some kind of vice, and then that vice is paraded in front of them somewhere, and they're like, ooh, I could go for a cigarette, or ooh, that beer looks good. No, at some point after you walk through and develop in your faith, you could, like I said to you before, I mean, before I was a believer, I drank, you know? You could parade a beer truck, a whole liquor store in front of me, and it's not going to influence me. It doesn't look good to me, okay? But how did that happen? Not by entertaining it over and over again, but by standing up in the face of it and saying, no, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going down that road again. But, you know, sometimes people make decisions based on their understanding. Go back to Proverbs 3 quickly. I told you I wasn't going to go that long tonight, so I'm not. Proverbs 3, where am I? In the wrong book. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So what's it saying? Don't trust your understanding, brothers and sisters. See, write this down. You need to get this down because some people just have never thought of it this way, but I really think this is something that every one of us can grab a hold of. Write this down. You can never have enough knowledge in this world to make a perfect decision. All you got to do is think about that for a minute. You can never have enough knowledge in this world to make a perfect decision. Why? Because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. You have all these facts and this data and all these statistics, and that can all change in the next little time before us. And suddenly your statistics don't line up. Suddenly, you think you're making the right decision. It's just like when people make a decision on an investment. And they buy it, and the next day the thing falls, you know. What happened? Well, you didn't know. Who did know? Who? A guy called the Holy Spirit? You based it on your understanding, your knowledge. You never have enough knowledge in this world to make a perfect decision. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. He knows the future, and he'll lead you in line with your destiny if you will listen to him. So I said it last week. It's like, okay, you have to constantly be doing this. Just like when you're driving your car. You can all relate to this. You're driving your car, and as you go down the road, you don't have tunnel vision where you're staring in front of you, do you? Corey, I watched you drive out of here today, and I'm sure your eyes are going, they scan, don't they? How many of y'all know that your eyes scan when you drive? If they don't, give me your keys. Right? Ken, when you're buzzing down the road in that vintage Mustang, are your eyes scanning the road? All over the place, especially for the police. No. No, that's Chris, actually. hey, we don't break the law. We just push it to the edge, right? No, but, you know, you're going down the road. Your eyes are moving. Constantly scanning for what? You're watching the traffic. You're looking over here. Your eyes just do that, don't they? Well, in our lives as believers, we need to constantly be going, okay, what does the Holy Spirit say about that? You've got something before you. If you're not careful, you'll lean on your own understanding about that situation. You got to go, okay, Holy Spirit, what's going on here?
Well, I don't want to be some kind of weirdo. I'm always asking God.
Well, I'll tell you something. You need to be constantly, I mean constantly, checking on the inside. Is that the Holy Spirit saying this? Do that? Don't do that? Go down there? Don't go down there? Now, the fact of the matter is some people people overthink things. People overthink. You sit down and you get ready to make a decision about something, you're thinking and you're thinking and you're thinking and you're thinking and you're going back and forth. And some people are worse than others about this, I suppose. But people overthink things and can, if they're not careful, they'll make the wrong decision. What way should you go? Well, you are doing a classic thing. You're leaning on your own understanding. So what you need to do is pray. And I would suggest you pray in the Spirit. And you let the Holy Spirit give you a yay or an A. There's nothing wrong with gathering data, gathering facts. I did my homework before I bought the car I bought. We did our homework on the land that we purchased. We did our homework on the land out here before we built these buildings. You do that, but then you pray. Then you pray. And sometimes the data is leaning one way, but you don't know why, but you feel led to go that direction. And in the natural, it doesn't look a smart move. And you do it, and God blesses it. Or other times you had all the data lined up, and you did it, and you got burned. And sad to say, we all have instances of that where we made a bad decision and ended up being burned, So things happen in your spirit first. Write that down. They happen in your spirit first, okay? Your head should find out about it later on. Things happen in your spirit first. What is that? The Holy Spirit will minister and bear witness in your spirit, and then you'll realize it at some point. But I think most Christians don't take the time to get quiet before the Lord and get his thoughts on it, get his understanding on it. Don't make your decisions based on the numbers and the stats that you've collected. Make your decisions based on your spirit and spending time with the Holy Spirit, letting him bear witness in your spirit, having that knowing, okay? Look at verse 6 quickly. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So, we could just say, quit looking at people and to people immediately, and don't even base your prayer on the symptoms that's before you, because Jesus didn't always do that. There are times when someone came up and it was obvious the guy was blind and he spoke to the blind, so the guy was healed. The other times somebody thought that they needed this, and yet Jesus prayed this way. An example's in John chapter 11. We looked last week at John chapter 3, remember, with when Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked him about these works that he did. We know you're a teacher from God, and no one could do all these works. And he was really wanting to go back and report to the people in the camp who didn't like Jesus that here's the proof that he's of God. He wanted Jesus to discuss that. Jesus never discussed it. He turned and said, you need to be born again. I love that. I love it. He totally ignored the guy, his question. Well, in John 11, Luke chapter 10. It's not John 11. It's Luke 10. Jesus does this regarding Martha and Mary. You remember the instant where Martha's getting bent out of shape, right? You remember that? And now remember, Jesus loved Martha. John, that's where I got John 11 from. That's where I was thinking on that. John 11, verse 5. Jesus loved Martha, the scripture said. For Jesus loved Martha, her sister, which was Mary, and Lazarus. It says that in John 11, verse 5. But Mary is the one who had led the questionable life. Yes. You can do a little research on that. This is not the mother of Jesus here, guys. Okay? Sometimes that gets confusing. Mary was, she had lived a pretty sinful life. So here's what's going on. Jesus is there in the house, and he is sitting down, and Martha is looking out, and there's Mary sitting right there in front of Jesus, and Jesus is talking, and Martha's getting more and more irritated as the time goes by. You can just see her, you know. I mean, here they are. They're trying to have a meal. They're going to have this meal. I've got all this work to do, and she's sitting in there. Hey, sister, sis, Mary. You know she's getting irritated. Would you? Come on, be honest. Would you, if you had a meal to prepare and your sister was supposed to be helping you and she's sitting in there on her blessed assurance, and you're going, so Martha finally comes in there and interrupts Jesus, right? He did. I mean, she did. She interrupted him. Aren't you going to tell her? And here's the thing that's interesting about that. When she goes over, in fact, flip over there quickly and we'll close with this. Luke 10, I'll just show you the latter part of this incident because it's going to point something out to us that we need to grab a hold of. The account is in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And what's interesting is Martha is frustrated. And here's another little thing you can write down, that frustration, when you get frustrated, you're never in faith. When you get frustrated, you're not in faith. And why is that? It's pretty simple. The scripture says, we which have believed do enter into rest. If you're frustrated, you're not at rest. So there you go. Pastor Dan, I've been frustrated before. Well, yes, so have I. But look at verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, that she help me. Martha is thinking, it's obvious Jesus is going to side with me when he realizes that she's not helping. I've got all this work. It's obvious. What does the word obvious mean? Clear, easy to be seen, clearly seen, plainly viewed, right? Obvious. It's obvious. I look at this story and it's like she's thinking, it's obvious that he's going to agree. And Jesus, what does he do in verse 41? Mm-mm. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing's needful. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When you start thinking things are obvious, and you don't need to ask the Lord for his direction because he gave me a brain, bless God, and I'm smarter than that, it's obvious what I need to do in this situation, you're wrong. When you say it's obvious, you are doing exactly what we just read in Proverbs 3, verse number 5 and 6. You're leaning on your own understanding. Humility always asks to assume something or presume something. And when you do that, you're in pride, okay? Martha did that in this situation. She thought Jesus is obviously going to side with me, and Jesus didn't do it. I want to tell you something. When you think you have the obvious answer here, you still need to ask the Lord. Amen. Go inside. Turn to the inside and say, all right, Holy Spirit, is this really what you want me to do here? Is this really what I should do? Or do you have another plan? Because the minute you think you've figured it out, you're leaning on you, not him. Sounds kind of picky, Pastor Dan. That's how we're going to have to become more picky about the way we make decisions. When we let the Lord be involved in our decision-making process and not always put it in our own hands. You put it in your own hands, you're going to get what you get. Can I hear an amen? So if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we need to listen to him. Please stand to your feet and let's pray. Being led of the Spirit is something we need to do 24 hours a day. You wake up in the middle of the night and he says, pray. Come on, get on it. Are you obedient or aren't you? Are you gonna make excuses? What do you do when he tells you to do something? You want to be led of him. You say you do. Well, it's not just the comfortable times. It's not just that the time when everything's working right and everything's good and he tells you to do something. You do it when you don't feel like doing it. You do it. And what did we always say out of John 2? Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. Father, we thank you tonight and praise you tonight. Lord, for that revelation that we never have enough information in our own thoughts to make a perfect decision. I thank you for that wisdom. I thank you that we'll lean on you. We'll look to you. We'll let you direct our thoughts. We'll let you direct us, Lord God. We bless you and praise you and thank you for taking control of our thought life. We lean to you. We want you to control our thought life. We want you to, in your voice, to be heard loud and clear in our lives. So, sir, we yield to you again, over and over and over, in the name of Jesus. So we bless you tonight and praise you tonight. We'll take time to hear from you and do what you say. And we just give you the glory, thanksgiving, and the praise. In Jesus' name, if y'all can agree, say amen.